We'll call this meeting to order. If you could please stand and invite you for a short moment of silence for the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We do have a lengthy agenda tonight, but I think we could get through it fairly quick, actually. At this time, have we got any public input? Would you please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record?
Good evening, I'm Jake Mendez Jr. I'm a civil rights activist and ACLU of Washington member and NAACP member as well. Resident here of Othello. I just want to come before the City Council and the entire Police Department regarding pedestrians nearly being hit by vehicles, including myself. Now, this is an issue that shouldn't be ignored. This is a safety concern within the city limits of Othello here in town. Now, I can't imagine anyone here who has children or has relatives or has loved ones who have been impacted or been victims by this. No parent here wants to see their children injured or in a casket or having to put up with month-long surgeries because of this. And I'm pleading the City Council to do something about this issue. What I'm going to do about it is at each City Council meeting, I'm going to address this up to the point where you guys do take action. And this video is going to be emailed to our Governor Bob Ferguson for transparency and accountability. Because I'm, for one, as a constituent to you guys voters who I voted for, Ken Johnson, Kelly Kemp, and Alma Carmona. You guys wanted to see change. You promoted, you guys want to see change, safety and all that. Here it is. Now you got a voter right here in front of you, speaking in front of you about issues that really matter, because we're human beings too. We're people. We may not drive vehicles like you do, but why don't you guys come on these intersections and understand or feel like what it feels like to be nearly hit by a vehicle or be tapped by one? I want you to gain that experience to see if you can experience or understand what I'm going through. So I'm not going to set a time frame of what the City Council can do, but for transparency every week, I'm going to make sure to it that you guys within the City Council, within the office, reach out to what any cameras or funding you guys can do to better this city. I'm gonna be reaching out to Bob Ferguson every Friday. I'm gonna FOIA request every email, phone calls you make in efforts to show that you're making an effort of making a difference, of making a change. And I'm gonna publish all those phone calls, emails, to show the community that you're making an effort, making a damn difference. You campaigned on it, you wanted to be those in these seats, here you are. And here I am as a voter. What are you guys gonna do about it as the City Council? Are you guys gonna wait until one of your loved ones get impacted by a vehicle? Or somebody here, a mother pleading you guys after what I just tried to tell you? Oh, well, okay, my kid got hit. Then what? At what point is it gonna make it an impact or a change till something happens? Let's do something that's gonna be preventive from this happening. Let's not wait till somebody's burying a child. Some child is going, or an elderly person, a person who's blind, someone who's in a wheelchair, veterans who can't, you know, walk or whatever, who's in a wheelchair. And I got 3:41 on my clock. So anyways, think about that. The impact for the community, for everyone. I'm speaking on everyone. Every children out here that crosses these high schools to go to lunch, they're at risk as well. Everyone, anyone, including everyone here. And I'm up here speaking up for everybody. I could be speaking up for anyone here's children as well, elderly, loved ones. Because that's someone who has a damn heart, who has empathy, who cares about these people at all. So I'm coming forth with you guys as city officials and leaders. And I'm asking you a question. Just what are you guys going to do about it? Think about that question and ask yourself that. Put yourself in their shoes. After the city council meeting, why don't you guys try to go up in these intersections and try to get by here without getting hit? I would love to record that. Because right now, this is about safety. This is all about accountability, transparency. And we the people can't petition our government. If we see that it's not a satisfactory work that you guys are doing, we have the right to protest and see to it that you guys get voted out of here. If you guys are not going to do the job, just be honest and be upfront and just say that you're not going to do it. That's my time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And I could assure you that the city takes safety at a great concern. And we are always proactive in that position.
Okay, it's one thing saying it, but I want to see it.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll have roll call. Oh, yes.
If anybody else wants
to. Oh, yeah. Was there anybody else that had public comment? Okay. At this time, need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
I make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carries.
Did we do roll call?
I just looked at really quick the roll call. Everybody was present. Mm-hmm. So
perfect.
Now we'll go on to the consent agenda. I need a motion for that.
I motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We got a first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carries. Next thing. Matter of a little business. At this time, if we could get Aaron to come up for a little bit of employee recognition. Chief Garza began his career in March 2006, beginning what now has become two decades of dedicated service. Among the most meaningful chapters of his career were his years as a detective, where he played a key role in solving major cases and bringing a sense of justice and hope to those affected. He is also greatly valued his time as a school resource officer, which gave him the opportunity to build connections with students and make a positive impact on their lives. Above all, Chief Garza is deeply grateful for the support of his family, especially his wife, Lori, who also stood by him throughout his career. Reaching the 20-year mark is a significant milestone, and he remains committed to continuing to the service of the city he cares about so deeply for many years to come. And I hope we have you for another 20 years, Aaron. At this time, I'd like to present you with a 20-year recognition plaque.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Make sure.
Short, I just wanted to say thank you to the mayor, thank you to all the council members. 20 years is a significant milestone, and it's one that I take great to heart, especially it being serving the wonderful city of Othello, the city that I call home. I wouldn't want to work for any other place, and everybody knows it. So I'm very grateful and thankful for this recognition. Thank you.
Now we'll go on to presentation by Emily Shea.
Hello, everyone. Good evening, Mayor, Council. It's lovely to see some new faces this time. It's been great working for you all again this year. And just for those that don't know me, my name is Emily Shea. I'm the state lobbyist for this city, really serving as your eyes, ears, and voice in Olympia. And it has really been a pleasure for this 2026 supplemental session. So I'm just going to go through a brief presentation on what happened. So with that, next slide, please. So before I get started, I wanted to remind you all that I forwarded along an end of session comprehensive written report. Those should be in your materials tonight. That report has detailed budget summaries and descriptions of each bill that passed the legislature that may have a nexus with issues relating to city function and the city of Othello's priorities. It's a very comprehensive report that I would encourage you to reference if needed tonight, or if you find that type of reading enjoyable, feel free to read it in its entirety. Totally up to you. This evening, however, I'm going to provide an overview of the 2026 legislative session, discuss the outcomes of the city's legislative priorities, and wrap up about talking about next steps. So with that, next slide. So it was the second year of the biennium. It was a short session lasting 60 days. The primary objective of a short session is to make supplementary adjustments to the biennial budget, which the legislature did do successfully. Democrats continued to hold strong majorities in both chambers and shape the policy agenda, including efforts to address federal funding and related policy concerns. The governor this year also developed his own proposal budgets, which served as a draft frame for what he expected to see reflected in the final legislative proposals or something he would ultimately be able to sign. During session, many legislators began announcing they would not seek re-election. As of now, more than 10 members have publicly stated they will not run again. The legislature finished around 8:30 p.m. on March 12th, not that long ago. After some concerns that members were not going to come to an agreement on a data center tax exemption, transportation bonds, and a 24-hour-long debate on the millionaire's tax, Democratic legislators were able to reach an agreement on all three budgets passed on the final day of session. Governor Ferguson has 20 days from now, the passage of the budget, to sign it as is, veto it altogether, or line item certain aspects he does not approve of. In addition to adopting budgets, the legislature considered over 1,200 bills and ultimately passed 267. Since this was the biennium's second year, any bill that did not pass must be reintroduced with a new bill number in the next cycle. Next slide, please. As a reminder, the primary objective of a short 60-day session is not to rebuild the budget from scratch, but to adopt supplemental changes to the budget that was passed last year. That includes adjustments to all three budgets you see on the screen here, the operating, the transportation, and the capital budgets, largely based on updated revenue forecast, policy decisions, and emerging priorities. Heading into this session, there was a significant discussion about the impacts from last year's tax package, including increases on a B&O tax, capital gains tax, and estate tax. Democratic leadership also showed interest in exploring a millionaire's tax, both to address unintended consequences of the prior tax changes and a possible step toward an income tax framework in the future. Despite these discussions, the state's economic and revenue forecasts showed relatively flat growth, which constrained how much additional spending could realistically be added this year. The operating budget, as you see, is by far the largest of the three budgets. It funds day-to-day state government operations, most notably K-12 education, higher education, behavioral health, and social services. For the biennium, the operating budget totals $80.2 billion, which represents a $2 billion increase over the prior budget. Notably, this budget assumes a repeal of increased estate tax enacted from the last year. The rainy day funds are backfilled with revenues from the Left One retirement account, and the budget reduced Navigate programs by $2 million. The final operating budget leaves $1 billion in total reserves, which is roughly half of what the treasurer recommends as a prudent reserve level. It also relies on approximately $2 billion in new taxes and fees, including closing tax exemptions on data centers, prescription drug wholesalers, and insurer taxes. To put this into perspective, the operating budget is roughly 5 times larger than the transportation budget, which is why you see such a difference. The transportation budget totals $16.6 billion, reflecting about a $1 billion increase over the last biennium. This budget funds highway preservation, ferry operations, transit, and major infrastructure projects. While it's significantly smaller than the operating budget, it's still about twice the size of our capital budget. The capital budget is the smallest of the three, totaling about $8.5 billion, which is about $800 million increase from the previous budget. This is your brick and mortar budget, funding public and nonprofit construction projects that are non-transportation related. It's primarily funded through the sale of bonds, and a portion of the operating budget is dedicated to paying that back over time. The capital budget also supports several important grant programs, including housing and homelessness projects, local fish culvert replacements, and backfilling the Public Works Assistance account. Next slide, please. And why I'm here today to talk about our city's priorities and kind of what we identified as priorities from the 2026 session. Following discussions with budget leadership and the delegation, along with input from the new mayor, it was determined the only one request would be submitted this year. Rather than submitting requests for both the HVAC upgrades and the ASR project, we chose to just focus on the ASR project since this is a supplemental year and budgetary concerns dictated prioritizing water policy, local projects, as these were highlighted during budget deliberations later on during session. The city's request this year was to finish the design portion for the city's aquifer storage and recovery regional water plan. As a reminder, last year we received $1 million to purchase the 77 acres of the water treatment facility. We worked with budget leadership, as well as the ninth legislators, more specifically Senator Schessler, who is the ranking chair member of the capital budget. Ultimately, the final budget includes the requested $515,000 for the water supply ASR project, which will pay for the final design portion of the water treatment facility and allow the city to move to construction phase. Senator Schessler has dedicated his attention to finishing this project and remaining phases sooner rather than later. Some of those funds may be included in separate buckets of money within the supplemental budget. As of today, there is more to come on that. We found out we received an additional $1 million in funds for the next phase, showing the priority this is for the district. So total, we received about $1.6 million in the supplemental budget. This year, the average appropriations for communities is $258,000. So we received about 6 times that amount. Along this, GTHGov worked with specialized stakeholders like the Columbia Basin Water Coalition to raise the profile of the water supply project and to address statewide water supply challenges and permitting barriers. During session, GTHGov and the coalition met with around 10 water policy supporters to expand advocacy for ASR and reinforce its statewide importance. Building on this, we launched the first ever water caucus in the state legislature, co-chaired by Representative Dent from Othello, and Senator Mazzal, and coordinated ongoing discussions about water policy issues. Looking ahead, GTHGov will keep working with stakeholders, as well as the city and the governor's office during the interim to advance ASR legislation and find more policy improvement areas. Next slide, please. So briefly, I just want to talk about some additional legislative issues about what happened during the session. So the city always supports the legislative priorities of the Association of Washington Cities. Beyond Othello's specific budget outcomes, several broad issues emerged that are important for cities statewide. First is public defense. This was a major issue this session following a 2025 Washington Supreme Court decision that significantly reduces public defense caseload limits over the next decade, most roughly 2/3 by 2036. Throughout session, lawmakers continued discussing the impacts of cities and how public defense would be funded going forward. That conversation intersected with the proposed millionaire's tax. Early versions of the proposal included $150 million per year for local governments, but only about $15 million would have gone to cities, far short of offsetting these losses. Ultimately, the bill that passed did not include any funding for public defense. Compounding this issue, the millionaire's tax proposal included substantial losses for cities, an estimated $100 million annually in local sales tax losses increasing by 2030. In response, AWC and GTHGov successfully advocated for the creation of a local government mitigation account, which intended to reimburse cities for actual sales tax losses starting in 2030. The bill includes legislative intent to set aside $200 million for that mitigation biannually, so a flat rate overall. Looking ahead, we expect a trailer bill next year to address technical fixes and unintended consequences, especially since the tax itself will not take effect until 2028. Some, but very few, public safety legislation moved forward this year. The first establishes minimum qualifications for elected sheriffs, including background check requirements. The second regulates the use of automated license plate readers, ALPR cameras, often referred to as flock cameras, which are increasingly used by local law enforcement agencies to investigate and prevent crime. Land use remained a major focus for the legislature. While the state continued its trend of adopting unfunded land use mandates, cities had more opportunities this year to provide input during bill development. For example, a significant bill passed requiring cities and planning counties to allow indoor emergency shelter and housing in additional zoning categories, which needed to meet comprehensive planning housing targets. On homelessness policy, House Bill 2489 did not pass. That bill would have limited cities' abilities to enforce ordinances related to life-sustaining activities in public spaces unless adequate shelter was available. Finally, there were a few notable developments related to revenue flexibility and state shared revenues. The state largely maintains its commitment to state shared revenues, though it did not fully offset the long-term fiscal impacts expected from tax exemptions adopted alongside the millionaire's tax. Finally, the capital budget allocates $375 million in bonds to the Public Works Assistance Account to backfill the transfer made from the operating budget to maintain funding for infrastructure projects for cities. That approach also preserves funding for the Model Toxin Control Account, avoiding any reductions to that account. So, next slide, please. With that, I can't believe I'm saying this, but now the focus comes on what's next as the legislative session wraps up here. First, I want to encourage the city to consider ways to express appreciation to our legislative delegation, not only for advocating on behalf of Othello, but also for the time and commitment to public service. As you all know, being an elected official can feel thankless, and genuine recognition from local leaders is meaningful. Looking ahead, the Association of Washington Cities will begin discussing its annual legislative priorities on May 1st. A key part of that conversation will focus on enhancing local government funding, including identifying what new funding elements or structures may be needed to better support cities moving forward. This time of year also moves very quickly, particularly as we enter into election season. Several legislative seats are up for re-election and significant changes are on the horizon. Finally, it's never too early to begin thinking about priorities for 2027 to the 29 legislative biennium. This fall, we will update or develop the city's legislative agenda to reflect completed items and identify new priorities, recognizing that the next session will be a budget year and a longer session. Advocacy is a year-round effort, and we will continue working with the city's legislative delegation, other lawmakers, and city staff to advance Othello's priorities. Next slide, please. And with that, thank you for your time and attention tonight. Representing the city of Othello continues to be a privilege. I now hand it back to you guys to continue that conversation. And I remind everyone, I will begin sending out monthly reports in May, along with regular updates as we work throughout the interim period and highlight what's going on in the state legislature through that process. And finally, please see my contact information if any of the council members or staff has questions regarding any updates. Please feel free to reach out to me as well. And I'm happy to answer any questions or comments.
Chris?
Thank you for your efforts in delivering what we got for the ASR plant. It is critical. I know that Mayor Johnson put a lot of work into that as well. And I think on behalf of this community, I just wanted to say thank you. And we really appreciate the efforts on our behalf.
Thank you, guys.
Any other further questions or comments?
No, she said nothing, Mark.
She's calling you out. No questions?
None.
Okay. Well, you have my phone number if you have any questions. Yeah.
Not only does GTH help out with budgetary requests, but as bills go through the session and stuff too, if there's some that impact the city, they are close handy to express our thoughts and concerns on them also too. So it's good having somebody in that position over there all the time to help address those issues. Thank you again.
I got one more question, actually.
Yes, Chris.
So Emily, my other question is, what can we do as city councilors to strengthen our position and our relationship for the future upcoming legislative session?
Yeah, I think that's something you and the mayor can work on. But I think just highlighting what are the priorities for council, coming together and establishing those, if that's more of policy issues, discussing what those policy issues are in regards to what is the most impactful to Othello, and just staying up to date on what's happening and asking the questions among each other and what's your priorities moving forward. So my assumption is you guys will discuss that very soon.
So when we identify those priorities, do we take that then to you and maybe you can help guide us into maybe some of the things that we can work on before the session starts? And
yeah, so you guys will come together. We'll probably discuss at midway point, having conversations internally with you guys on what the policy areas are. I'll talk directly to the mayor or whoever will be my point of contact on what those priorities are. You guys will come together, accept those priorities, and then we'll figure out the best steps to make sure they're a priority in the legislature. Generally, I have an idea of what those priorities are for cities, right? Affordable housing, land use, public safety. So I'm happy to help craft that and brainstorm ideas if you guys want to collectively work through that during the interim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emily.
Thanks, guys.
Now we will go on to the approval for facility use agreement between the City of Othello and One Othello and Multicultural Association Services for 2026 Cinco de Mayo celebration.
With this, I just wanted to let council know I am going to recuse myself for this vote, simply because I sit on the MASS board. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want me to step out while you guys discuss?
No.
Okay.
You could just recuse yourself from the
vote. Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Good evening. Okay, so we have One Othello and the Association of Reflective Youth Alliance Park on Saturday, May 2nd, to host a community-wide Cinco de Mayo celebration. The event will begin with a parade at 9 a.m., coordinated simultaneously with the Little League opening day parade. Following the parade, Little League participants will proceed to the Lions Complex for opening day ceremonies with games to follow. The Cinco de Mayo celebration at Lions Park will begin at approximately noon. After Little League field announcements, the event will feature cultural activities,
informational and voting registration booths, food vendors, merchandise vendors, children's attractions, and live music. Event organizers have confirmed that all sound levels will comply with the city noise ordinances. Setup will begin on Friday, May 1st from 1 to 6 p.m. and breakdown and cleanup will begin at 8:30 p.m. on the day of the event. Public Works will assign two staff members during the event to assist with facility upkeep. The Parks and Rec Department have coordinated Little League opening day activities occurring the same day. Families and participants will be encouraged to attend both events throughout the day to support community engagement. Fiscal impact for this organization is a returning nonprofit special event fee of $143.25, additional total request items of $1,430.25, and a refundable damage deposit of $541.25. Staff recommend the City Council approve the facility use agreement for the use of city property for the Cinco de Mayo celebrations, contingent upon compliance with all city regulations and conditions.
Okay. At this time, I need a motion to approve the facility use agreement authorizing the use of city property between the City of Othello and One Othello and Multicultural Association Services for the Cinco de Mayo celebration on Saturday, May 2nd, 2026.
I'll make that motion.
First, we got a second. Any further discussion?
The only thing I would add to this, I think it's a great thing, but both this and the next item, then the contract, it references an on-site manager. And I would like to see that attending these events and having issues, they talk to me about, Mark, you need to talk to somebody. I would like the on-site manager identified somehow, so we know how that is. It's no different than you go to a fire scene and Chief Salisbury is wearing a white hat. That's so we know who's in charge. And I think that's incumbent to add this, that somehow they identify themselves so people know who to go to when they're in charge.
Can I answer that for you?
Yes.
So we hosted this event the year before. We have a booth set up, a tent. It's our go-to tent that we use for public, anyone that needs anything. There's always someone in it. Same tent vendors come when they need something, they come find us. We wear shirts so that we're identifiable. So with our event, the Cinco de Mayo event, we do have a booth that is just the volunteers and the MOS board members. We have shifts and things like that, so we are easily identifiable during our event. So we do set something up so that we can be found.
And somebody's manning that booth?
At all times. We don't leave it because we do raffles and things like that, so we have merchandise in our booth. So somebody has to be there at all times, yeah.
Okay.
Councilman Spohr, question.
Yes, Chris.
Related to Councilman Spohr's, are you asking that this be done for just this event or this added to our policy that goes through Public Works?
I would like it to add to the policy, like I said, for this one and the next one in any event or
all coming. Would it be beneficial to hold this and maybe bring it back up in new business to have that to be forwarded for the Parks Committee for consideration to add to the contract?
I think they just got that indication now, so be looking at it.
In the contract and the agreement, yeah, there is a item where that does state that there has to be an on-site manager, but to be identified. We've had at multiple events, example, our next committee, they also use a tent and booth, okay, where they have all their registrants, people stop by there. So in the past, they've had the use of booths, just like Alma explained.
I don't think it's that urgent, Chris, mm-hmm, but in the future, add something. Yeah.
Parks Committee.
I mean, even that, like the car.
It's a good suggestion.
The car show or
no, I
whatever.
Agree completely.
But it sounds like that's already in the agreement.
Yeah.
Right? Where they have to have somebody that's,
yes,
identified.
Yes, on site at all times. But he stated to be identified. But mm-hmm, for the most
clearly
part,
identified,
many of our events already have a booth. But I can have them, you know, just suggest, hey, put a sign on there that says, you know, event manager located here. Any questions? And but we can make it a little bit better. There's always room for improvement.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, we got a first and second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion so carries. Next is the approval facility use agreement between the City of Ofello and the Ofello Holiday Committee for the 2026 Easter Egg Hunt.
The Ofello Holiday Committee is requesting use of the Lions Park Complex area on Saturday, April 4th from 2 to 5 p.m. to host their annual Easter Egg Hunt. The community event is designed to provide a family-friendly experience for local residents. In addition to the main attraction of the egg hunt, the event will include children activities such as bounce houses, food vendors, and a prize market. That was a big hit last year, so many are excited for that. The committee has indicated that they will provide adequate staff and volunteers to support the event operations and ensure safe and an organized environment. Setup will begin April 3rd from 1 to 5 p.m. Cleanup will take place immediately following the event. Event organizers will provide staffing and volunteers for the setup, operations, and cleanup. Activities will be contained within the Lions Park complex to ensure safe participant flow and accessibility. A returning nonprofit special event fee of $143.25 will be applied. Additional total requested items were $104. A refundable damage deposit of $541.25, in addition to an announcer booth refundable damage deposit of $520.25. Staff does recommend the City Council approve the facility use agreement for use of city property for the Holiday Committee Easter Egg Hunt, contingent upon compliance with all city regulations and permit conditions.
Okay. At this time, I need a motion to approve the facility use agreement authorizing the use of city property between the City of Ofello and the Holiday Committee for the Easter Egg Hunt on Saturday, April 4th, 2026.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Got a first and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carries.
I would love someday for somebody to explain to me how they come up with $541.25. Not tonight.
Yeah. Next thing on the agenda is a presentation by Tom Salisbury of Adams County Fire District 5.
I'm the presentation, so you have to listen to me talk. Thank you, Mayor, council members, and those attending and watching online for inviting me to speak to you this evening. My name is Tom Salisbury, Fire Chief for the Adams County Fire District 5, serving the City of Ofello. I've been with the Fire Department for over 35 years in the district. First, I would like to say Adams County Fire District 5 has served the City of Ofello for 25 years. I want to thank my full-time firefighters, our secretary, and 32 volunteers. Sorry. Our 32 volunteers. Without them, we're not capable of serving and protecting our community. I was asked to explain what the fire district does for the City of Ofello and to outline what we believe the district and the city should work toward for the future of our community. The fire district works hard to serve and protect our community. We perform several inspections annually, conduct routine maintenance and testing on all our fire equipment. We perform functional tests on every hydrant in the City of Ofello, approximately 600 hydrants. We have third-party tests being done on all our ground ladders and our SCBAs, which are packs and masks that we wear when we go into a structure. We also test fire hose carried on the trucks and the hose stored in the racks, approximately 23,700 feet of hose. We perform ladder and pumper tests and service all trucks every year. We also perform weekly truck inspections and monthly road tests. The fire district conducts fire inspections for all commercial buildings in the city. Last year, we completed 303 inspections and 55 re-inspections. Checking sprinkler systems, hood systems, fire alarm systems, and other elements to ensure the businesses meet the fire code. We respond to all types of fire and rescue calls, including structure fires, grass and brush fires, entrapments, and vehicle accidents. We provide mutual aid to other fire districts as needed around us, and when we are called upon, we help them out also. Last year, the City of Ofello had 169 calls for service, and this number continues to grow as our community grows. For community involvement, we visit schools every year in October to conduct fire prevention for kinder through second grade. The children enjoy these lessons and remember what we teach. We are involved with schools through job shadowing programs and career fairs. We hold several fire station tours each year and host a booth at the fair to recruit new volunteers. We participate in paid parades annually and hold an open house so that the public can meet volunteers, the staff, and see their fire trucks up close and learn about emergency services. We also work closely with EMS, the Sheriff's Office, Ofello Police Department, and other emergency service partners. Finally, our primary responsibility is to serve and protect the community, to the best of our ability so that everyone stays safe. Looking ahead, I would like to increase the staffing to better protect the city and the fire district while continuing to do the work we already do. We would like to add a 100-foot platform ladder truck to reach the new three-story apartment buildings that have been built in town. Such an apparatus would also enable development of hotels and other multi-story businesses in the city of Othello. We should increase training for full-time staff, volunteers, and add another fire inspector to ensure our community remains safe. One long-term goal would be to build a new fire station capable of housing a full-time department. I believe these changes could happen within the next 5 to 10 years. If the city and the district continue to grow at the current pace, I also believe the city and the fire district are now working on a path that would enhance services for the city of Othello and the fire district and continue to keep our community safe for everyone. Thank you for your time. If you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them if I can.
Thank you.
So that ladder,
go ahead.
Thank you. Go for it.
So that ladder truck would not only reach up to three stories, it'll reach
higher.
Over that?
Higher. It would reach the three stories apartments that are built, yes.
Yeah, but
granted, your apartments that you built were sprinkled, which makes them a totally safe and then easy. I mean, we can still fight the fires easily because we can hook into the sprinkler system and power that up with a truck. But yeah, it's something the city needs. And you guys know the old ladder trucks pretty much done for, so.
So would we set up like for a 5-story? Just for the future?
No, you're gonna go 5 stories. You're gonna have to get a lot bigger truck than that.
Or you could like add said, auxiliaries.
Your building's over three, any building over three stories will be sprinkled anyway. So it'll have sprinkler protection in it. Even a new motel or anything like that would be sprinkled. So that's how we fight fires in high-rise buildings. I mean, we don't have a lot of high-rise. I mean, your three-story apartments, I think, are about the tallest. That and the hospital, I believe, are would be our biggest challenges. But they have standpipes and it's sprinkled also, so.
Chris, did you have a question?
That addressed my question.
Yep. So.
Tom, I really appreciate you guys making that investment for the future of the city. You know, that comes from communication. And I truly appreciate that.
Yep, well, like I said, if we continue to work together, I think we've got a good momentum now. Hopefully we can keep that going and we can make things work out the way we want them to. So I appreciate you guys and all your help that, you know, the meetings we've had, I think they've helped. I mean, we get to know a little more about things that we didn't know, right?
Right.
I believe so. Yep, I appreciate the city council and the mayor. Thank you.
Okay, and for information, we have got a contract on hand right now being reviewed by the attorneys, and we hope to bring that back at the next meeting for approval. Thank you, Tom. Next, we will go on for acceptance of the Safe Streets and Roads grant.
Good evening, Council. Bear with me a little bit. I know I have a few things on the agenda. So first one is going over to the SS4A grant that we applied for last year. The city was recently awarded this grant. We've been awarded $120,000. At this time, I'm currently working with the Federal Highway Administration and U.S. Department of Transportation to finalize the grant agreement on this. This planning grant was previously approved to expand on our local road safety plan, bring us up to federal regulations to give us access at funds at a federal level. I know Washington State Department of Transportation is a little tapped on projects. Some of our projects that we thought they were going to do have kind of trickled down off their list. And so this is another route to where we can find funding to make our roads accessible and safe back into the city for all modes of transportation. So the total estimated project cost is $150,000 with $120,000 in federal funding and required 20% local match of $30,000. The city will provide the required match using street funds. At this time, staff is recommending that council accept the U.S. Department of Transportation Safe Streets and Roads for All Planning and Demonstration Grant and authorize the mayor to execute the grant agreement upon receipt of its finalized contract.
Okay, at this time, I need a motion to accept the grant.
I'll make that motion.
I motion to approve the acceptance of the U.S. DOT SS4A Fiscal Year 2025 Planning and Demonstration Grant and authorization for the mayor to sign the grant agreement with U.S. DOT upon receipt.
And we got a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion?
Yes. Just to be clear, this is just a study. It moves no dirt, does not build any infrastructure.
No, you are not allowed to receive federal funds unless you meet federal safety requirements, which are beyond what the state requires. So this is just the planning. So what this will do is it will give us planning for future access into the city, current access of projects and streets that need repairs with the focus on safety. And then once this planning grant is done, then you have anytime you apply for implementation grant at the federal level, you have to provide this planning grant that meets their requirements.
For an old goober to take, you spend that much money and it's just the study. But
it's kind of like the key that unlocks the door, yep. Right?
It's the key, it's the key that unlocks the door to all the bigger other funding funds than what the state is able to do. It bypasses, justify. And we do have, you know, WashDOT's aware, and we have support of WashDOT on a lot of these things too. So,
all right, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carries. Next on the list is the Kiwanis Park Spray Park Lighting and Walking Trails.
This is a grant that we have previously been awarded. The Spray Park, we are anticipating, should hopefully get started soon. What seems to be kind of the holdup on moving forward with the walking trails and the lighting has been the budget. So with that, with working with RCO, you have to have a notice to proceed before you can even begin to break ground, which we already have on the spray park, but we don't have on the trails and lighting. Part of the reasoning for this is we can't submit bid documents that are over budget. So this is what we're coming to council for. So back in January of 24, council had approved the contract amendment to include the mega soaker into the splash pad. At the time, the amount of the increase was approximately $35,321.02. With that, it was not yet known if that was going to affect the overall budget. It has affected the overall budget, and it's almost exactly to that amount with the bid documents for the trails and the lighting. So staff has already implemented that we've already put in cost-saving measures. We've already gone to national parks, reduced the size of the trails to try to get everything within a budget, but we are still having that shortfall. So with this, the engineering department is requesting authorization, you know, for that increase in the mega soaker of the $35,000 to complete the spray park project with the trails and the lighting. With that, we're asking council to approve the additional funding required for the Kiwanis Park lighting and walking trails portion and authorize engineering to proceed with the final design and bid documents for that.
Okay. At this time, I need a motion to approve the additional funding for the Kiwanis Park Spray Park lighting and walking trails project and authorize staff to proceed with the final design and bid preparation.
Line item are we pulling the extra $35,000 from?
I have been in contact with Spencer. Right now, it would come out of parks.
It would come out of the park reserve.
Okay.
So, without the mega soaker, we would have been within budget.
Possibly. In the process of when federal grants, so this grant includes federal and state funds, which that portion alone takes almost a year-long process to complete the contract. Mm-hmm. In that time that you apply for the grant, so keep in mind this grant was awarded back in 2024, and it has taken this long to move through contract and everything We do take into consideration when we do the, when we come up with the cost increase, but as costs have completely increased, you know, with that, we have already, instead of doing 14 feet wide trails, we're down to 8, and that is still bringing it into budget just because of the cost of everything. So we would have been way over regardless, but due to a cost increase in
due to inflation.
Oh, big
because
time.
Of the year.
Big time. And we have tried to get everything out of RCO. We've asked for increases, but they are even at the federal level, they are kind of tapped out. In fact, they did not even open up their federal grant this year. They held it off for an additional 2 years to be able to have funds for this type of thing. So it's hard to say where we would have been, but if we keep, I know that if we were to keep the trails exactly how the grant wanted with all the lighting, we've, Cameron has crunched the numbers and Robin so many times to try to make it work. If we did it exactly the way the grant proposed, we'd be looking at probably about $400,000 over, should tell you the price of inflation and all the construction costs, labor and everything. So we went through, Cameron's crunched all the numbers and we're pretty close down to this amount, so.
Mayor Johnson. I will go ahead and make the motion to approve the additional funding for the Kiwanis Park Spray Park lighting and walking trails project and authorize staff to proceed with the final design and bid preparation.
I'll second that.
We got a first and second. Any further discussion?
My constituents understand that this is an extra $35,000 to go from a water tower to a mega soaker. This is a splash pad. These are not supervised. They're normally not monitored. They're only available 3 months out of the year. I'm hearing keep it safe, keep it fun, but keep it basic. And appreciate the effort and the ask, but it's going to be a no for me tonight. I'm not interested in paying an extra $35,000 to go to a different feature.
I'm more than in due to the fact that we don't have a swimming pool right now and we don't know how long it's going to take. So I'm for it 100%.
Well, we've got two water features at the pool that aren't being used, so bring those over.
Okay.
100%.
Any further discussion? I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
So carries. 6-1. Okay, now we're going to go on to Kiwanis Park Playground and Parking Renovation.
In April of 24, City Council approved for the submission of grant applications to RCO for improvements at Kiwanis Park, including the construction of a new playground and renovation of parking lot. At that time, the city was awarded the WWRP grant, but was not awarded the LWCF grant, resulted in a funding shortfall for the full project scope. Staff returned to council, received approval for modification with effort to try to complete a partial project, which RCO board denied the request of the partial project. Then in December of 25, the city was notified that there was funding in LWCF and we now receive the LWCF grant, and RCO indicated that they would seek to reinstate the previously awarded WWRP grant, which we had to return due to not being able to do a partial project. So, and then in February, the city received confirmation that that WWRP grant was reinstated. So now with both grants awarded, the city can proceed with the full project scope of construction of the new playground and renovation of the parking lot at Kiwanis Park. With that being said, the total project cost is $1.25 million, where $625,000 is LWCF grant, $500,000 is WWRP grant with a city match of $125,000. Staff is requesting council approve to accept the grant funding and authorize the mayor to sign the grant agreements with RCO upon receipt. Currently, grant agreements are pending and no funds will be expended until contracts are fully indicated. Keep in mind, LWCF is the federal portion. Those grant contracts can take up to 6 months to a year to have those contracts. Mm-hmm. So this project would not even be taken in consideration in this year's budget. So it would be worked into next year's budget.
So it'll be in a budget once its inflation has made us way over budget again in another year or two.
And we've taken some of that. We've learned over the time that, This playground will not be the size of Lions Park. I think I put a thing in there showing kind of this playground will be a generalized piece with support elements, with the focus also being that parking lot, getting more parking at Kiwanis. Because with that splash pad coming, with this going in there, we would be taking out the equipment that is borderline at risk, any ways of needing to come out. So we've taken some of that in consideration and learned, you know, along the way with playgrounds and things like that, how that works. So.
I have one other question, and I don't know if it's you or somebody else maybe that can answer it, but we've got the splash pad coming into Kiwanis, and then you've got the new playground, plus part of the park now is going to become parking lot. And then I think the next thing is tennis court, or not basketball courts, right, is mm-hmm. coming up. How much open space in that park is going to be left?
Quite a bit. I wish I had it.
Is it still going to be half or whatever it's supposed to be?
Yeah, so the basketball courts are going directly where the basketball court is. And
okay.
I mean, as you can tell, it's been a busy grant season. I don't even have the basketball courts on there, so I probably should get those in the consent agenda the next time. But those basketball courts will go directly over. I wish I had the whole site plan for that, and I can email that out to council or even attach it with the basketball courts the next time.
But there is still going to be ample
there is still open plenty of that. That was the whole focus of the park in. Is, you know, the futsal court is there. The tennis courts aren't going anywhere. The bathrooms are renovated. The trails are still the trails. We're just making them with lighting and fixing them where the tree roots have, you know, destroyed them. The playground, we're removing equipment, but adding a playground. It's still there, but we are not affecting that overall big area, the splash pads opposite side. And that is something we can kind of share that general site plan, which shows where everything's at, but there will be still quite a bit. That was one thing we wanted to keep was the atmosphere of that park and keep the trees there. It's enjoyable. So I don't know if that helps where Spencer pulled up the map onto the left, all the way over the black pavement for the basketball courts. That's going to go directly over. And with the parking lot, we're going to come in that tree line, which actually works well because that row of trees is actually diseased and dying anyways, so they need to come out. And so we're taking that part out of it as well. The playground is going to sit off the side. Half of it will be shaded, you know, the other half will be in the sun, but there won't be the need for sunshades, things like that, because we took a lot of that into consideration with this one. So, but that whole open space, pretty much where Spencer's has the cursor on, splash pad goes all the way to the other side opposite, right there. So nothing to the right is being touched either at this point. Trails, there'll be a few trails and stuff, but it's still going to keep the park.
Okay.
Mayor Johnson, I'll make the motion to accept the grant funding for the Washington State Recreation and Conservation Office for the Kiwanis Park Playground and Parking Renovation Project, and authorize the mayor to sign the grant and agreements upon receipt.
Second.
We got a first and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? So carries. Okay, next thing on the agenda is the RCO grant application.
So we're wrapping up last season's grant applications through RCO. RCO funds every 2 years, some are yearly. With this, after meeting with Parks and Rec Committee, the city is preparing to submit grant applications through RCO for this year for improvements at Tagaris Park. The proposed applications include using the YF project for Tagaris Park soccer complex enhancements and using the WWRP project for Tagaris Park community playground. The Tagaris Park soccer complex enhancements projects will include installation of field lighting to extend hours of play, a scoreboard, bleachers, and other necessary amenities to improve the functionality and usability of the soccer complex. The Tagaris Park Community Playground project will consist of constructing a new playground. The previous playground was removed several years ago due to safety concerns, and there is currently no playground at this park. This project will provide a safe and accessible recreational space for the community. To apply for these grants, a resolution is needed for approval. Resolution 2026-01 has been created using the required template provided by RCO and is required for the grant application. With this, the city is requesting for the YAF project, which is the soccer complex, $350,000 in grant funding with a required 10% city match of $35,000. for a total project cost of $385,000. For the WWRP project number 26-1551, the city is requesting $500,000 in grant funding with a required 10% city match of $50,000 for a total project cost of $550,000. The city match for both projects will be identified through future funding budget allocations if grants are awarded. Staff is recommending that council approve resolution 2026-02 related to the park project number 26-1466, Tagaris Park Soccer Complex Enhancements, and park project number 2026-1551, Tagaris Park Community Playground.
Any questions, Chris?
And go ahead and make the motion to approve resolution 2026-02, authorizing the city of Othello to apply for the RCO grant funding for YAF project 26-1466 and WWRP project 26-1551.
Second.
Got it. Motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yes. This Tagaris Park issue is very unique. And this is a park out in the county. It's 2 miles outside the city limits. It's not contiguous with the city. Right now, the city of Othello provides the sole funding for this, for the maintenance and upgrade. The county has no skin in the game. Tell me the word.
Contingency.
Contiguous is the right word.
No, my people that voted for me.
You're contiguous. Oh,
thank you. Sorry. I'm just wondering. They're aware that last year the budget was passed. This year there is $100,000 given to that park for parking lot curbing, and they just feel the money could be better spent than that. Just to see, I don't know whatever happened to a park district in this area, but my constituents are having a tough time dealing with why we're 100% paying for all the improvements and maintenance in this park. I thought we were supposed to be earmarking money for City Hall HVAC, dog pound, city pool. It's nice to know people think we have all this money, but I'm not so sure. This one hurts because I think sports are the backbone of a healthy community. But again, I'm going to have to say no to this, representing my constituents.
So Tagaris Park, we own that. The city owns that park.
Yes.
So it is ours to upkeep. So
and also, city residents use that park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do county
basis.
Well, but yeah, county people use Lions Park as well. I mean. The city of Othello owns Tagaris Park.
I understand that.
So the upkeep at Tagaris Park wouldn't be any different than the upkeep at Lions or Kiwanis.
I think what he's saying is that the county has not contributed nothing to it. And when the county had it, it was going, I mean, that thing was, excuse my language.
It was going, yeah, right.
So we took it over. So. What's that?
It was ran by the park district.
Park district, but the county was under the county's money, wasn't it?
No. Mm-mm. No, there was a separate park district.
Correct.
In charge of that area that could not perform the duties of maintaining the property.
Was that all, what's the word I want to use? Where were the funds coming from? Donations?
They didn't, yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, because I remember I was one of the first ones on that board, and we were having a hard time. I know Roger Teamy was in it. He was sponsoring quite a bit of that money, and I was just pretty much on the board. We did contribute a little bit towards it, so you're right, it wasn't a county deal. But for that reason, there wasn't enough funds to keep it up, so that thing was going, I mean, it was ugly compared to what it looks now. I mean, it's nice, and it's being used. And like Alma said, you know, the county people come over here to use our park. So even the city people, they go out there, all the soccer players, all the baseball players. I mean, there's several teams that are using that park over there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the rule of thumb is, Spencer. For our population, are we supposed to have are we supposed to have certain amount of acres?
Yes.
Right? Does that counts?
This came up previously.
He did this during planning commission.
Ann's going to beat me to it.
There used to be a standard of like acres per person. The National Standards Board has gone away from that and gone more to a radius, like a park within a half mile, more like that. But there has in the past been a thought that you needed so much park acreage per 1,000 population or whatever.
And being that part of the city, we can use it as to be
we do
legit or to be kosher.
That's with, part of our yeah, park yeah, mm-hmm. our holdings, yes.
That's a good thing.
I think the thing I'd like to point out on this is this was a decision made a long time ago for us to take over this park. And our commitment to that, because of the uses that we were looking for at the time, I think, I don't want to relitigate the past at this point. We own it. With that in mind, I think we're doing a fantastic job of not just addressing the needs of that park, but the needs of all the parks, which has been part of the six-year plan for the parks. I think there is some good vision in addressing all of those for the good of all. And I applaud our grant writer finding the funds to make these parks as good as they can be for all of us. I truly appreciate it. And we all get to benefit from it. I look forward to my grandkids playing soccer on that park in the future.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a clarifying question? So what we're doing tonight is trying to just do a resolution that allows you to apply for the grants, correct? Mm-hmm. So there's no obligation that we even accept the grants should they be awarded, right?
Yep. Yes,
so
that would be
this
a separate
is just kind of starting the process from the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, and you can't apply without a resolution. That's okay. Part of the grant requirement. Okay.
But this isn't us spending any money right now.
Right.
No, and I can reiterate, I know, Mark, you're concerned like when it comes to the pool and things like that. Believe me, that's still a forefront on everything. The next one, we'll go over some grant updates. But as far as pool requirements, they don't fit in the requirement of the grants that are available right now. So there's so many stipulations for how the grant funding is used. But every aspect of the grants have been looked at for the pool. And so it's just not with these ones.
It's just a burden. Just for information, the pool was built with the park district where everybody in the county and the city was assessed money to pay that bond off that we got the pool with. However, when it came to that, all of a sudden now it needs $3.5 million in repairs. That was strictly for the city. There was no county pool district or any or park district involved in that. That was all city tax dollars to pay that $3.5 million.
I mean, if we're going to go down that path too, I really don't want to, but I'll just very quickly explain that that was considered strongly. But because that apparatus was not used at the park district in so long, our rates would have been significantly higher and would have paid a lot more to go through that path. That's why it went through the city. But that's for a completely different debate and discussion. And that's why that happened that way.
Okay. I would motion to approve resolution number
2026. It's already been, they already have a motion and a second.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I think I had a motion and a second already.
We're on further discussion. So all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Carries 6-1. Okay, now we could get to the grants update.
So with this grant updates, there is an attachment just in general. We have current active awards that are on there. You can see them listed. Some of them we've talked about. Kind of just gives a basic status update. I do not have the additional ones that have closed. There are several that we have done. We have a couple. We have a police one pending that's, again, we'll attribute to federal government. Awards were supposed to be made in October. I received email last week. They still have not made awards on that. So that's still pending. We have current applications, which we're applying. You can see that on there. We have a safe route to schools. We're working on the project on that one. Looks like we're wanting to add pedestrian signals, not like the system on Main Street, but just pedestrian signals in general to alert when those high school students are crossing. It's pretty busy in that area. Emily talked on state funding. We have her stuff at the bottom. I do have federal funding up there, which is, you know, we have approval for those federal funding projects. We went back to DC with some focus. We do have $1 million coming from Newhouse that was for last year. We're just waiting for the information on that. We requested another $2 million towards ASR. We requested $2 million for the roundabout on 14th Avenue, Reynolds Road, SR 26. All funding requests have been submitted. Now the process is just waiting to see what's been approved. And then Emily touched on her state requests. I can go into more detail if there's any question. There are several grants coming open. Funding cycles are pretty busy January through June as projects come up. This year, some are a little bit slower putting out their information because they are waiting on their budget information before they can give us some of that as well. So every request for all sorts of projects, we also look at the capital projects that are approved through the budget, see where we can get funding to pull that out and maybe open up funds for other things. So all that is taken into consideration with all grant funding that comes available. So at this point, if there is any questions, otherwise it's kind of more of just information where we're at on grants. So
about on a state highway be a state project?
So that's where we come into that. WashDOT had it on their list. They dropped it. Mm-hmm. And we have a letter. We've been working with the port that states if we find the funding, they're in support of the project. They just don't have funding for it. They have priorities elsewhere at this point. Used to be, but it got dropped off. Mm-hmm. So, but they are in 100% support if we find the funding for it. So, and I know there's big concern with community about that roundabout as well. So,
I just, you know, when you go through this list, it's impressive. And I just wanted to say on behalf of the citizens, Sarah, thank you for empowering us to change our community in big ways. You don't get it, we all don't get enough kudos for the things we do, but when we see a list like this, when we have the discussions that we just had about what we can deliver to our community with this effort, it's important to recognize how much work went into it and how much we appreciate your team and the amount of effort they put in because it's making Othello better. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I do appreciate your work, Sarah. I know there's a great deal of other agencies involved in these sometimes and it gets very confusing. Especially with a lot of changes in the federal government and their levels mm-hmm. of funding too. And you've got to be a very patient person for some of these. I do appreciate the work. Next item on the agenda is introduction of amending a section in chapter 17 of our Othello Municipal Code. It's currently in the works right now. Hopefully to bring it back to the next meeting for some changes. And this has to do with prohibiting the sale and distribution of what's known as 70H in our local stores. This also has a nickname of called gas station heroin. It's a product that is a derivative of keratin, kratom, and it's become, I've become very aware of it in the last few weeks through several citizens and their concerns about it being sold in local stores with no restrictions to age limits or whoever can purchase this. I believe Aaron's did some good research on this too, and he has a lot more he'd like to bring to the table on this.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Mayor. Sure, yeah, this product is called Kratom. It's derived from Southeast Asia, comes as a leaf. When it's concentrated, it's formed into a product and it's sold, obviously, in retail shops, smoke shops, retail stores of that type of nature, like gas stations and such. It's becoming increasingly popular. The main chemicals, mitragynine and 7-hydroxymitragynine, 7-OH, just like the mayor stated. At a low dose, it acts as a mild stimulant. However, at high doses, it completely changes and acts more like an opioid or sedative. And because of that, and the way it's sold is through tablets, through capsules, through shots, like 5-hour energy shots, stuff like that. It poses a high risk just due to its potency. It's unregulated, which means that the potency differs by the product you buy, and it could be easily abused. The specific health risks and concerns is it's identified by the FDA as being a high potential for abuse, especially amongst our youth, and it's classified by the DEA as being a drug of chemical concern. This is due to it being highly addictive and having dependent properties, as well as ease of abuse and ease of obtaining. When it is abused, it acts more as a sedative, but it has side effects such as hallucinations, confusion, nausea, vomiting, and a rapid heart rate. However, the long-term risks are the ones that are of concern. That's the addiction and dependency, which we want to try to avoid. As far as regulations, it has not been approved by the FDA. There's no oversight, and it's typically self-prescribed by the individual buying it without, you know, being overseen by any sort of medical doctor or anything like that. It is often used with chemical addictions to reduce withdrawals, specifically those addicted to fentanyl and to methamphetamine. Currently, it's legal and it's unregulated, which means anybody can go and buy it. My 15-year-old son can go to the gas station and buy an unhealthy amount, and there's no restriction on it whatsoever. There has been some recent legislation proposed. There was two Senate bills and one House bill. Both attempted to regulate it through age restrictions, labeling, restrictions of use. However, none of those bills failed to make it through the entire legislative session. They all died. So right now, it's completely unregulated. Why action local action is needed? It's sold here in town, and due to its addictive potential, serious health effects, coupled with its unregulated danger, I believe it does pose a warranted health and safety concern to our citizens of our community. I think it'd be prudent for the council to consider these facts and to consider the health effects and restriction its sale within our cities. And just to note, there's been other cities that have banned it. We wouldn't be the only one. Cities such as Spokane, Spokane Valley, and Cle Elum all have moved to ban it with the overall goal of protecting the public and it being used to keep our citizens safe. I can answer any questions if you have some.
Yes, Darrell.
Have we reached out to other incorporated municipalities in the county to enact this in their legislative bodies so the entire county mm-hmm. is an island, so to speak, by just the city of Othello being?
To my knowledge, no. This specific product was told to me by the mayor, so we would be the first, and this would be a proactive approach to keeping it restricted of sale within our city. So as far as I know, council member, no.
That is a good direction also to go to, because mm-hmm. I know there are several facilities in the county that...
Just go
2 miles
south.
Yep.
And it sort of defeats the purpose of enacting an ordinance when they can just drive 5 minutes away and buy my product.
Has the only municipal actions that have been done in other cities been banning, or is that the only action?
It's been banning the sale of, not the possession of, just the sale of.
So there's no age limits that have been put on to this that you're aware of?
As far as I'm aware, there hasn't been any age restrictions. The gas stations that sell it here in town, anybody can go in there and buy one or two or as many as they want to.
I think one of the hardest things on any of this stuff, I mean, we want to protect the public, mm-hmm. but on the other side of it, there is some freedoms and potential impacts. I mean, this is also sold in health, holistic health.
Vitamin shops or something like that, sure.
And I mean, I've always lived under a rule of, you know, Paracelsus, the difference between medicine and poisonous dose. So I would love to have a lot of data on this to make a decision, especially if it's going to impact the public, to make sure we're doing the right thing. Do we want to protect? Of course we do. But I will point out that whipped cream is loaded with nitrous oxide. And we don't ban whipped cream. So That's my only concern, is that if we do take that sort of heavy actions that will impact some of the businesses in town, that we do it responsibly.
And I do see the state eventually stepping in and
It would have been nice if it got out of committee. That kind of concerns me too.
Yes, and I know there was a lot of questions around that. And like I said, I do see the state coming in and creating some governance over this product. But until such time, we need to take a look out for our local citizens and stuff too. And then at that time, we could follow state regulations.
What did we do? What did we do the last time to ban marijuana from being sold here in town? Could we do the same thing?
This is actually falling under the same.
It's the same sort of situation. Yes. You could do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yes, in chapter 17 of our ordinance, it's actually falling in the same direction as that. Okay. So this change will come to us next week to take a look at for the council for action. This is just kind of an update to get you prepared on it. Like I said, if you have any further questions.
Will it go to any committee for review beforehand for a recommendation?
I don't see the need for that to go to a committee. But after it's decided on which, I guess there was three areas in the ordinance that would need changes, and would be happy to provide those to you definitely before the next meeting.
Thank
for
you.
The changes. Okay. And is there any other current business?
New business?
Current business. I got one thing that I'll bring up really quick under current business. If there's none other by the council.
I got something for new business.
Okay.
Is that what you want?
Well, under current business.
Unfinished.
Unfinished business.
Okay.
The selection committee has met for our administrator position. We had a total of 16 candidates. Six applications were incomplete, but we narrowed it down to four very well qualified candidates that we will be interviewing on the 10th of April, the morning of April 10th. And hopefully we could come out of that interview session with a good qualified candidate for a selection for city administrator. I don't know if the committee members have any more they want to add to that. Just an update for the community. I know there's been a lot of people asking where we're currently on that status. So now we will go on to unfinished business. Any new business?
Being on the audit committee, going through the warrants is very enlightening. When you approved the warrants, you approved a payment of $5,267 to NAC Incorporated for services from November 25th to December 24th, 2025, that who knew? An Othello Aquatic Center feasibility study. And we spent it, that means we spent a total for this study of $89,000. I had no idea. I'm asking the mayor and city administrator by next meeting to provide to council a report on either a copy of the study or where we're at on the study and how much more it's going to cost us.
Okay. Your request has been noted.
I have something for new business as well. I have been an Othello resident for 9 years, and just within the last couple of months have discovered that you can auto pay your bill to the city of Othello. I had no idea. And I've talked to multiple people who also had no idea that that was a thing. So is there something that we can do in maybe everybody's next utility bill to be like, hey, did you know? Or put it on social media. to just get a little more information out there for people to know that they can auto pay their bill to the city of Othello.
I think it might be on the, I think it says expresspay.com on the bill.
I know, but I mean, right. So you can go on, I know, but I'm, you have to go in and set it up. I understand that. I'm saying, can there be something, and it can just be on social media even, to be like, did you know? Because people are not noticing that. I didn't notice that it's, I mean, I've been paying it. I just go into my bank and I pay it every month. Like, but I've never used Express Pay before because I just pay it through my bank app. Now I'm paying it through Express Pay because now I don't have to go on and pay it.
So you're saying just like a notice to go out and just say,
notice.
Hey,
be like, hey, did you know?
In case you missed it.
If you go to here, you can set it up and it'll just pay every month and then you don't have to go on every month and do it.
Maybe we get one of those.
That's all.
Okay.
Dancing guys.
Make it easier maybe it on just, the city to have payments
yes,
come automatically.
Yes, just an occasional reminder once in a while. to the citizens.
I better not suggest that.
Still. Okay. Any other new business?
Friday, I'll be in Ellensburg at the Council Leader Exchange. Appreciate the city for supporting me in that effort.
Yes. It's always great to learn on that scale. A lot of new things coming up. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. Council will also receive the comp plan update minutes from the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission meeting minutes also. If no further business before the council, the meeting's adjourned.
Right.
And it's still done with an hour and a half.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, yeah not bad.
There was, I know. I was like, oh, this is
longer
too. 8 o'clock at
least. I thought it was going to go longer too. My only concern on that.
I told you in the beginning, I think we could get by it fairly quick.
I haven't been.